B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What'd you call this, Hardy? I wouldn't say it's rock. More like salsa?
It's pop.
It's pop.
Thank you. Dan's pop. With me. Dan gets it.
This is pop. He's not a rock and roll guy. He's pop.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Vav. Pop song. It's a pop song. Great pop song, but so what?
Oil for coma.
No, that's it. Yeah.
Say limbo.
It's like a...
Okay. Okay.
Those lyrics.
Hey, Dan.
Let's get to Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, who joins us in studio in our Town Fair Tire Studios. What's up, Dan?
On Good Friday, the building is shut down for Good Friday.
It's very quiet around here. Very quiet.
Any of you guys Catholic?
Yes.
No.
All right. Well, Beale, you're young. So, I mean, when I was... young, like a little kid. We couldn't speak between 12 and 3.
Yeah, no TV.
For
nothing.
What? What was the point
you
of that?
Shut everything down.
That's the 12 and 3, the hours of the Passion.
Like the
of
stupidity
Christ.
Of not eating meat on Fridays.
No, it was when everything was going down.
It used to be all of Lent. Then they limited it to Fridays.
We were observing the 3 hours when everything was going down with the crucifixion, and we were supposed to be quiet. You were in your room, you didn't talk. So
no
I may
TV,
have to
no
shut
radio.
Down. At noon today.
Good for you.
Me well, too.
Good. You know what else we're gonna? You know what else we're gonna shut down at noon? The payroll department. All right.
No, it was a thing.
No talking, no money.
You never had the no talking thing.
No, God, no.
No talking.
Hell no.
Quiet.
Well,
we had no TV, no radio.
This was in public schools.
No, it was at home.
Home.
Oh, at home.
Go
oh,
to
right.
your,
yeah. right,
you go to your room and sit in the room for 3 hours.
Oh wow, your mother made you do that.
Everybody.
What'd
yes.
you do for 3 hours by yourself?
Read. Baseball, dice games. Oh. You know,
dice games,
baseball cards. Yeah,
dice games.
Yeah, no talking though.
No talking.
Use of your voice.
No talking. Very, very quiet.
A lot of folks out there. Well, maybe not a lot.
Good for
some
you.
Folks out there know what I'm talking
good
about.
Well, Zoe's very religious.
No, we did that. No TV,
that.
No radio.
Okay.
Yep. Shut down.
Dan, I want to get to the. We're going to talk to Sean Grady coming up in about 10 minutes. We got a couple of minutes here. Did you see the report about the Cavaliers wanting to trade for Gordon Hayward?
I did not. No, that's
so. Cleveland.com. Chris Fedor, who's has been reporting on the Cavs for a while, also is a host at 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. And he reported in his story about the Cavaliers as they get ready for their offseason doings. He wrote, "The Cavs would gladly take the polarizing Gordon Hayward, who was an all-star in Utah before his horrific leg injury. He would be the main prize, the exception to Cleveland, demanding a draft pick or a sending player on a rookie deal. Hayward is healthy now and will have a full offseason to try and regain his old form, possibly giving the Cavs another piece to accelerate their timeline. Put Hayward, 29, alongside Kevin Love, Colin Sexton, and the duo added in round one, and suddenly Cleveland has the look of a playoff team."
What are they giving the Celtics?
That's
a great question, Dan.
To be determined there.
Yeah, we don't care about Cleveland. We don't care
about
Cleveland. A big thing is J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to this. Listen to this. That's not for
He's
the player.
Still alive?
It's not for the player. They're already taking calls on J.R. Smith because his contract only has $3.8 million guaranteed of the $15.7 that he's technically owed next season. And it could give a club some cap flexibility to bring him on.
Yeah. Nobody wants J.R. Smith.
Right. Nobody wants the player himself. It's about his contract, the unique contract that he has signed. Now, in this story, it notes, as I read from the write-up on NBC Sports Boston, it says, "Don't expect Hayward to go anywhere. The only way Boston would consider dealing Hayward is if things went awry this summer. If Kyrie Irving bolts in free agency and the Seas lose out on Anthony Davis, Danny Ainge could look to unload the maximum contracts of Hayward and Al Horford to do a mini rebuild around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown."
This is what we call a non-starter, this whole thing. I mean, come on. There's so many ifs on that thing.
Good.
It's not happening. It's not even.
Well, the only if there is, does Kyrie leave?
That's a big thing, which we live with daily here.
Right.
Yes.
You know, so if Kyrie leaves, is there a possibility they try and free up space and they start moving guys off the team? Horford gets traded.
Well, you start even reading this type of scenario.
I think Horford's a possibility, but I don't think Haywood is.
You start this 2 months ago, and you start this type of talk, and we're like, yeah, let's drive the goddamn guy to the airport. Right now, the way Hayward sort of turned a corner, yeah. Like...
Danny and Brad Stevens want to build with Haywood.
Yeah.
They do. He's young enough.
Yep.
And
he's a good three, man.
Becoming good again.
He's a good three for what he's getting paid for, too.
Those things are fun, but to me, the Horford thing, yeah. If Kyrie leaves, I can see. And Horford, all the miles on him, the contract, sure. But again, what's the market?
I don't know, but he's had a good playoff run. He played well the other night.
Well, he's playoff Al.
He proved valuable in game two for the Celtics, which we will be talking about with Sean Grandy coming up. We also have a lot of other stuff to get to with Dan.
Lot.
Including Dustin Pedroia. He's back on the injured list.
Who Zoe hates.
Don't use that word. Put that in my mouth.
Shaughnessy says Zoe hates him.
Yeah.
Hate's a bad word. Don't do that.
You go on Twitter.
Especially
you
on Good Friday.
Oh, dude. Do I go on Twitter and say hate him?
Like you crush him. You crush him.
He's a little leader. That's all.
You crush me on Twitter a lot, too.
Is he little?
You don't hate me.
Is he little?
Yes.
Is he a leader?
Yes.
Thank you. The little leader.
Use that as in a derogatory way.
Dripping with sarcasm.
When you call him little leader.
Eye black. He's sitting there in his locker.
Little leader.
What do you have, his uniform on 7 a.m. that day?
I always tell Zoe, if Zoe had played with Dustin Pedroia, he would be besties with this guy.
Okay.
It would be inseparable. You'd be like Edelman.
I'd play catch with him on my knees.
You'd be like.
So we've got the Dustin Pedroia situation. Some very interesting comments from David Price that he made yesterday. And also the tape is being shopped in the Robert Kraft situation.
Oh, yeah, now the bone I have to pick with Zoe here. Okay. As I was driving in.
This should be good. Get your money out, Globe.
You launched into your anti-Globe thing on me, you know, like you sound like you were working someplace else, like about the Globe trying to acquire the video. I mean, again, thank you, Hardy.
We went over this last week when you were in.
But, I mean, did we go over the Channel 4 is trying to get it, which is...
Yeah, we did this.
You know, Radio Free Patriot Nation. I mean... Yeah. So it's again. Everyone's trying to get it. It is not a Globe thing.
Save it for next segment. Right.
No, yeah. I don't think you should save it.
It's not a Globe. It's ridiculous. And this.
I'm with you. It's not a Globe thing.
You can bash the Globe for a million things. That is not one of them.
I said legitimate news organizations will not pay for it.
Right.
That's not what they do.
No,
they will not pay for it. That's for the TMZs.
It'll show up.
That's for the
TMZs. Which gets into a weird thing too, because this came out when the Tiger Woods story is breaking. It's been around for years and years and years. Just because a certain outlet pays for it doesn't make the story any less true.
Correct.
And what it does is it could infringe on the credibility of the sources involved in the story when you're paying them. But once again, just because somebody wants to get paid for telling their story, it doesn't make what they're saying any less factual. It's a weird thing.
When it's a video, it's a piece of evidence.
But I think, you know, newspapers and networks, whether it's Fox or NBC, it doesn't matter. Sometimes they get handcuffed by this because they're like, no, we don't pay for it. Well, why not? maybe you should every once in a while, because every once in a while you get scooped by a huge story because TMZ or National Enquirer is willing to pay for it.
Or one of those shows, the kind of theater shows it'll show up on. Like, I don't think 60 Minutes has ever paid for an interview. I mean, they just don't do it.
I don't think so.
That's the standard. That's what you're not supposed to do. But you're right. Sometimes, you know, someone that everyone wants to hear from is holding out for dough.
Your headphones, though. You took your headphones off because he's done with it.
Because he's just done with it.
And now you're echoing.
No, my mic wasn't even on.
Yeah, we know that. It was bleeding out of
your headphones.
Sean's
are so loud.
Sean Grandy is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Bat. Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This has been Kyrie walking the walk here in this playoff type game. He pulls up, shoots a quick three, and drills it. Kyrie steps to his right and sticks another three. Leprechauns aren't on that side. What a performance from Kyrie Irving tonight, and we're not done yet. It's Kyrie. Pull up. Three. Got it.
Man. Good God almighty.
my mask because he just robbed a doggone bank.
All year long, he talked it. Tonight, he is walking it with his feet barely touching the ground. Kyrie with Wes Matthews on it. Left-hand dribble. Kyrie stops at 14 feet and hits again.
Man, that's just so nasty by Kyrie Irving.
This is becoming one of the great individual performances in recent Celtic playoff history tonight. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in on Zolak and Bertrand with Shaughnessy, Sean Grandy on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hi, Sean.
I got that music reference, by the way. I'm old enough to get that.
Congratulations.
Real. I mean, that's impressive. That's impressive.
All the credit for that goes to Jim Lowe.
Max would have even gotten that.
I'm going to differ with you on that.
Really?
We'll go. Well, he's
that one's pretty popular, bud.
He's a little before that. Like, if it's when he was playing, whenever, like, they played Van Halen Jump in the arena, which they often do before Jump Ball, that's right in his wheelhouse.
That's awesome. Diver down.
Wow. Yeah. Did Max and Larry Bird speak the other night? Those guys catch up?
They did. Before game one, yeah, Max went to
good.
It's nice.
pay his tribute.
Max still bitching about Larry getting defensive all-defensive team?
I think, you know, that man, you know where that, Scoopy, you remember this because you have the scope of the history, where that manifested itself, I think, the most was in that whole Dirk thing, when Max was so pro-Dirk when he first came in the league, and that's where all that's, and then when people would ask Max, they still do, and he's right, by the way, what he says, I don't want to start trouble, but when you ask Max, who's the best player you ever played with, his answer is definitive and very quick, it's Hakeem Olajuwon, and that always starts, you know, starts trouble and whatever. But, yeah, they of course, that was what, you know, people who don't know, when Larry came in, it was Bill Fitch that went to Max and said, who do you think is going to be guarding the best player now? Larry was not an all-defensive caliber player when he came into the league, and Max, that was his job to cover it.
No one feels and remembers slights like Max. He's still talking about when he was MVP in 81, instead of getting the usual car, he got a watch.
He got a watch.
Still talking about that.
As he will point out, you know, the watch is still working and the car isn't. So,
wow. Hey, what do you take the most out of game two there, especially at the end?
That to win in the playoffs, when everything slows down into when you have elite defensive teams anyway, and then it slows down into a game like that and those old Jimmy O'Brien rock fights, if you don't have a guy with the cheat code, and the Pacers don't have their guy anymore with the cheat code, and the Celtics may have the guy with the cheat code to score when it seems impossible to score. Obviously, Golden State has a couple of those guys too, as the Clippers found out. That's the difference in a game like that. And I think when you listen to the highlights, you're going to remember the shots. What no one's going to remember is Kyrie taking charges and defending and switching defensively and doing every single thing that needed to be done. Because history will record this as a 2-0 series lead, but because time we will forget how the Pacers have led for most of the first two games and how miserable that game felt in the first half, and Kyrie was making every play in addition to the shots to keep the Celtics afloat.
Sean, going forward in this series, should we expect the Celtics are going to sweep the Pacers? Is that an okay expectation?
I think that's a high expectation, given how well the Pacers have played at home all year. I think this is the night where you determine whether the Pacers, there's always an element to me of involuntary surrender in playoff series when one team just knows it's not going to happen. It's the reason to me, the biggest surprise game to me of all the years I've been doing this was the Lakers winning game five in 2008 in the finals. They were down 3-1. The Celtics had the big comeback. It was clear the Celtics were a significantly better team. And we see this in the NBA a lot, where teams tend to – crazy stuff happens at the end of these home games when you're sort of facing elimination, because there's that subconscious thing of, like, the Lakers demonstrated why you don't want to get on a plane and fly 6 hours to take a beating of a lifetime. And that's why sometimes those game fives get away. I think this is the night, you know, I think if the Celtics can put pressure on them, and they'll have to play much better to do that, have no illusions. They'll have to be much better offensively, but if Al's completely healthy, the opportunity is there. There could be a moment if the Celtics can lean on them heavily during this game where reality might, you know, could set in. But, you know, the Celtics have not been a team this year that have, you know, run through the tape all year. So they're still in that kind of show us stage.
Is there any level of concern that it's been so hard to beat these guys? Because we all think it should be a sweep. They don't have their best player. I mean, they can't match up with them. And yet, they've been behind by double digits in the second half of both games. What's going on?
Well, the other way to spin that would be that the Celtics haven't played. You know, the Pacers have done things that they have to do better and can do better and probably will do better, but the Celtics had not played two great games here. And, that, you know, so you still have their best shot to come. And obviously the last time they were in this building, they were great, and they blew the doors off them. I would probably refer back to 2011. Everyone's going to remember, for people that even do remember, the Celtics swept the Knicks, who were an outmatched team in the first round. But the Knicks had the lead for most of those first two games behind Carmelo Anthony. They had Carmelo Anthony, who was knocking down a lot of shots. So those home games were uncomfortable, and as we discussed in the pursuit of home court down the stretch, their pressure was on the Celtics, right, at home, because they haven't had a great year. Those things weren't going well. The crowd had been kind of iffy during the year because the Celtics hadn't really earned their trust. So the pressure was really on the Celtics. Now it is not, and that may be the, you know, that may be the trigger. A lot of these series go this way.
What are you hearing anything on Marcus Smart as far as, is he moving around gingerly, or is it getting any better day to day?
For all the stuff, well, here's what you're getting at. So for all the things that Marcus Smart like inspires people, you tend to believe the unbelievable, right?
I almost expect him to be back for series two.
Exactly. Yeah. And the reality is he's not even jogging yet. He was out on the floor at the field house about half an hour ago, just taking gentle shots and, you know, getting some shots up, and he's really happy with his progress. But the best you're going to do with 4 to 6 weeks is what? So I don't think it is realistic that Marcus would play in the next round, but, you know, you just keep having him make progress. But I think when you see him, he inspires irrational hope on a variety of levels, and I think injury recovery is one of them.
Sean, I am looking ahead to the next round. I'm sorry, I am. And you just talked about Smart not being here for the next round, whatever, which sounds logical. Okay, Boston-Milwaukee. How soon would they get that thing going if everybody takes care of business the way it looks like they might?
Funny you should ask. I'd refer everyone back to 2 years ago when the Celtics and the Wizards both wrapped up their series in six games late on a Friday night in different cities. And the league, because the league wants those television slots on the weekend, here's what I'm getting at. I feel with a lot of confidence that if, you know, these teams take care of business, and I think everyone expects that they will in six games or fewer, I believe the Celtics-Milwaukee series probably starts next Sunday in Milwaukee because they want those weekend slots filled. So I think, you know, that's another reason. There are many reasons why it's important. Psychologically, physically, there are a ton of reasons why it's important if the Celtics are going to win the series to do it in four or five games. But that is another very significant one, that the Buck series would almost definitely move up.
So their chances, that even if they're slim, might go up just a little bit if this series, of getting Smart back, that is, would go up by somehow allowing this series to be extended.
That is a fascinating way to spin it. I hadn't contemplated that one. But, you know, I think, again, realistically, I just don't. I think it's a fun thing to hope for. And remember, you not only have the idea of Marcus, you know, doing the unthinkable to begin with, he also came back early last year, and it was against Milwaukee towards the end of that series. He came, I think it was game six, he came back. So, you know, you want to be hopeful. I think the Celtics need to put the hammer down tonight. Tonight is obviously the critical game. If you don't play well tonight, this could end up being a much longer series and an uncomfortable series than anybody wanted it to be. And I've said this a million times, I just don't think people appreciate it. Maybe it's the nature of the beast, but people don't appreciate just how good Milwaukee is and the dominant season they have been. In the year we're watching Golden State do what they do, to have no illusion, Milwaukee has been the best team in the league start to finish.
I agree with that 100%. People aren't taking that. That should be where the road ends for these guys. I mean, you know, the Celtics can beat them. But on paper, you look at the thing with the home court, with Giannis, and Milwaukee's been a little bit banged up. That's your best hope, right?
It is, and again, the longer it goes, they start getting guys back. Brogdon is the key guy that they've been missing. But I've been of the opinion, listen, I don't think anyone that picks against Golden, it's silly to pick against Golden State. Obviously, Houston looks really good right now. But if you tell me that Milwaukee's going to win the championship this year, that does not surprise me. You can't make them the favorite in a league that has Golden State in it. But they've been teams that have seasons like they just had often go on to win the championship, like Golden State 5 years ago, but nobody believed it because they hadn't seen it yet.
All right, Sean Grady, voice of the Celtics. Appreciate the time as always, Sean.
As always, man.
All right, take care. Celtics will continue their series with the Pacers. That, of course, continues tonight, 8:30 tip-off. And the Celtics could benefit from extending the series.
Oh, Beetle.
In terms of getting Smart closer.
Really, that is ridiculous.
I expect them to sweep. I will be critical of them if they don't sweep.
Right.
Because they are so much better than the Pacers. But in a strange way, if they screw this up somehow, maybe they're that much closer. Smart was out there today. He was on the court, as Sean said. He compared his injury, the way it felt, to getting punched by Mike Tyson. That's what he said today. Marcus Smart. We'll get to the headlines with Hardy. Don't go anywhere. Dan Shaughnessy is with us, and we're talking about Dustin Pedroia, the Red Sox. We'll also get to your calls. All of it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, the development here, Dustin Pedroia is out of the ballgame. Eduardo Nunez has to go in at second base. Petey, moments ago, flying out routinely to right field. But, Jerry, he is out of the game.
Yeah, we don't want to speculate, but you have to imagine it's probably something with the knee. He had the one at bat flying out, and then immediately Nunez comes out to take over at second base this inning. So we'll wait and see if we get any word from the Red Sox clubhouse.
Everybody get up.
Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Dan, you wrote about it the other night. Dustin Pedroia leaving the game in New York. He has since been put on the injured list. More on that in a moment. You talked with Jerry Remy, who we just heard in that clip on Nesson, and Remy told you a story about Dustin Pedroia asking him if his knee bothers him on hard surfaces and then talking about tearing out a floor in his home because it bothers him.
Right.
That would be Dustin Pedroia asking 66-year-old Jerry Remy about his knee, which when I read that, what you wrote in your column the other day, I thought this is a guy who's thinking about post-baseball, what his life is going to be like, what is, you know, well-being and condition will be beyond his playing days, which when that starts happening, you start thinking a guy is close to being done.
You do, and I think Jerry Remy, that was flashing before his eyes. And again, Jerry Remy had a 10-year career, 11 knee surgeries, you know, different medicals back then. We know he had all kinds of different things, both knees. But he sees what's out there, and he knows the position, he knows the player, he knows the history. And this was an experimental surgery in October of 2017. It was cartilage from a cadaver. And it's, you know, the guy's been trying to come back now. This is a year and a half. Three games last year, six games this year, three at second base. Inability to play back-to-back. The notion that they didn't play him longer in Florida, or more spring training, more extended spring training, more minor league games. Why three minor league games in Greenville or whatever? They still can't answer that. It's almost like they wanted him there for opening day at Fenway. Mm-hmm. You know, to have him in the opening, the home opener. And, you know, he turned a couple plays in the Baltimore series. But this is literally painful to watch. And, you know, he's 2-for-20. And that, you know, and Cora said, when we went into the room after the game the other night, Wednesday, Cora said, yeah, Petey's not here. He said, well, he's sick. It's not what it looks like, but he's not here because he's sick. But
yeah. The way I interpreted his comments that you're referring to is that he felt physically ill because he was so distraught over having had to leave the game and was hurt. And we played it yesterday. If you didn't hear it yesterday, this is Alex Cora that night when Pedroia left.
You know, for him to come up to me and tell me how he felt, you know, obviously I know a lot of people think that he's going to push and not be smart about it. He understands where he's at and how he felt. So I got to do what I have to do to take care of the player. You know, I was surprised that he came up to me and told me that. But at least he was honest. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, I really don't know. I'm just, he was a little bit down. He was down, you know. I haven't seen him like that. So hopefully it's nothing serious. And, you know, is something that just, he just got scared, you know, but we'll know more tomorrow.
Right. So you had all that, and then Dombrowski yesterday on a radio show said that that Pedroia told them that he heard a pop, but then the report is now he's on the injured list.
So Pete Abraham of the Globe reports this in today's paper. Red Sox second baseman Dustin Pedroia did not sustain a serious injury to his left knee on Wednesday night, a major league source told the Globe. Pedroia, who was examined in New York on Thursday, was placed on the injured list with what the team termed as irritation in his knee. The belief is he will be able to return sometime next month. And so when I read that he didn't suffer a serious knee injury, I didn't expect to find out that he suffered a serious knee injury.
Right.
I fully expected that it's just the same thing that he's dealing with. It wasn't like he blew out his knee.
Well, your knee doesn't pop.
I know the pop thing, as you heard, that may have led you to believe he did blow something out. But
it's ACL.
But I fully expected him to, you know, be in the same position where that cartilage is not strong and, you know, he's had the microfracture and all of it combined is just, as Zoe likes to call it, gravel knee.
Gravel knee. Yeah. The knee locks up and it's, you ever like almost throw your back out or you have a tooth pain and it freezes you. He had to have one of those moments where the spike or whatever stuck and the knee locks and you're thinking, oh God, it just went.
You know, this irritation, that's just chronic and it's not going away, as Dave Dombrowski told us over a year ago.
Then why didn't he get another second baseman? This isn't even really about Pedroia. This is about Dombrowski rolling and even putting a number on it.
I mean, a lot of things happened.
He said 125.
I mean, they didn't expect Brock Holt to have his child, you know, gouge his eye out and have to go on the injured list with a cornea injury. Nunez is Nunez, and he's
another good knee.
He's a train wreck over there. Did you see the day when he pulled his glove away when the guy was running? I mean, he gave the error to Vasquez to Leon, but
that seemed unfair.
And then he had a legitimate error later the next day. He's not hitting. Something wrong with his back. Whatever. He crushes you out there when he's playing second. And tonight, Beetle, they have called up a pitcher tonight. Now I expect Lynn will be there tomorrow. But they have a 14-man pitching staff tonight because of what's happened to the bullpen. And that means there's two players on the bench. You have a two-man bench at the start of the game, which I honestly can't remember that. I mean, one of them's a catcher. So there's no bench. And the Swihart thing looks a little dumb in retrospect now because he could have
just put Pedroia where he belonged on the injured list and keep Swihart.
And he could play second base.
And Vasquez could play second.
They can all play second. So... they're getting kind of touchy. I mean, they got touchy about answering the questions about the starting pitching not being used in spring training, and then they all suffered the consequences the first 2-3 turns.
Right.
That's mostly over now, except for Porcello, we don't know. They're touchy about this now and answering why did Pedroia only play 3 games down there, and what were you thinking? And the manager, this has been hard for the manager. He's got a hand behind his back going into these games with no bench, no second baseman, and the dumpster fire that's been out there. The pitchers don't like that. I mean, it's an issue.
Let's get right back to your calls coming up next. If you're on hold, stay put.
Yep.
And we do have open lines as well. 617-779-0985. Also coming up, we got to talk about these comments, these really, really interesting comments from ace pitcher David Price on the future of this group and whether or not the Red Sox blow the team up in season. Yes, that's what he's talking about. We'll get to all that.
When you have the trump card, you can do that.
That's right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. Mike is in the car today. What's up, Mike?
How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for hanging on.
How you guys doing? Zoe, I wanted to ask you about a couple quarterbacks in this draft.
Sure.
They're not guys that are at the top, but there's how last year the Saints had that Taysom Hill guy.
Yeah.
There's a guy from Syracuse, Eric Dungy, who could be a similar type player. You think the Patriots could look at that? And then Penn State. You got the kid McSorley, who I think is pretty underrated.
Scrappy winner. I watch a lot of McSorley's games. It's hard to tell that type of athlete to bring him in here to where, okay, now we're going to flex you out. We're going to put you in motion. We're going to pair you on a nickel guy. And that nickel guy runs a 4-3, and he can cover you all over the place. And I know the Saints did some stuff, and that kid's really athletic. He could throw, he could catch, he could run. I don't
Dungy,
know.
Dungy runs about a 4.6 40, and I think he's the type of guy that you could use as a H-back weapon type.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you see that type of player becoming a part of the NFL, or is he'll just like the exception of the rule?
I don't, because I think the you have to have a great coordinator, and you better have a damn good guy that can pull the trigger, like a Breeze or a Brady. Jim, who's the name of the kid we're watching? Went to his last name's Hurd. He started at Tennessee as a running back.
Jalen Hurd.
Jalen Hurd. Baylor. That type of player I could see them getting, you know, to sort of take over that Cordarrelle Patterson role where you hand him the ball. You'll do the jet sweep. You know, maybe he could be in kick returns.
And one last thing, so is it more likely, I don't know, from what you're sensing, that they move up this year rather than moving down? Because I feel like with all the compensatory picks they got in the bank for next year and the fact they got 12 picks, doesn't it seem likely that they're going to probably end up with three players in the top?
You have big needs right now this year, more so than any other. And what I did, and I started looking at this draft order, is start looking at teams that they have really good rapport with. You know, the Clevelands. Mike Mayock, his buddy, is out there with the Raiders. You know, it's Vrabel and John Robinson in Tennessee. Take a peek at what Tampa has, what Detroit has. And those are target areas to where if Bill needs to pull the trigger on something, hey, you know, we need to get up there and get that tight end. I could see them moving up to get a tight end around 20.
Well, if you love that's Will the second Greer, time you've said that today, moving up to around 20 to get a tight end. And
I'm just saying, Hockenson's falling to 20. I don't think he'll be there. I think he'll be a top 15 guy. TJ Hockenson, I think he'll be a top 15 guy. If he falls in the late teens, I think get ready to move up. Get ready to move up for that guy. Because I think you have potential trade partners in that sweet spot.
I'm not
talking move up to top 15.
This was tweeted 11 minutes ago by Colin Coward. He writes, got a feeling, and this is unsourced, which immediately tells me it's sourced. More than a feeling and it's sourced. Patriots move up to the number 8 spot in the NFL draft.
Ooh.
Matt Patricia is tight with New England peeps, N.E. peeps, he writes, and Detroit Lions are looking to move down. Yeah. I am told it's the rare year that Belichick would move up. Okay, that's a source. That's not unsourced, that part.
Well, I mean, Belichick started his pre-draft press conference with it's basically impossible to move up from 32 to 8 based on what you have to get up to move.
Patriots move literally use that number 8 spot. I mean, 8. They're moving up. What are they going to do at 8, though?
TJ Hockenson. Tight end.
Make him a top 10 pick. Wow.
This following the year in which, a year in which we believe.
Would you draft Gronk in number 8 overall, though?
If you knew it now, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're thinking. Who knows?
Maybe.
Does it really matter if you're going to draft a guy around 8, between 8 and 15? Like, that's...
Oh, no. What if he's not there at 15? What if
right.
Not there
that's
at
what
20?
I'm saying. Like if you can mentally come to grips with, okay, we can move up to get to 15. Then why not just move up to 8 if you got the guy and you want the guy?
I heard this the other day.
Because you don't get to pick which pick you're going to get there.
No. I know.
The higher the better to,
I know what
to
you're
secure
saying.
Your player.
Right. I know what you're saying.
Not every team between 8 and 15 is willing to trade.
You could grab that pick and trade it out, too. I mean, that's...
I think it was The Ringer that said this the other day, that there's so many teams that are on board now with trading down, and all these GMs want to trade down.
Good.
That trading
now
up
it's time
has
for
become,
Belichick to go the other way.
Has become the value play is trading up because it doesn't cost as much to trade up because so many guys want to trade down.
Like, if you see that defensive tackle from Bama fall
there, long
I could see him trading
Belichick
up to 8.
Is what it was. It was the long play.
Last time he moved up the way he did in that type of first round was the Hightower Chandler Jones first round. And he did some jockeying to go up and get those guys.
Let's go to Bob, who's in Nevada. What's up, Bob?
What's up, Bob?
Bob on Dustin Pedroia. Bob.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, first thing, Bob. I want to invite Mr. Kraft up to Pahrump, Nevada, where it's legal prostitution up here.
Oh, boy.
Is the cat house still open, even though its owner there, I forget his name.
Dennis Hoff.
Dennis Hoff has passed away.
All his things are still open. I believe his son took over them.
Oh, okay.
But I'll tell you what, all there's right. one place down by my house here, dude. It's outstanding. But
really?
Anyways, getting on the...
You speak from experience on that, Bob.
What makes it better than the other ones?
Smell. It's called the Kitty Shack. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, dude, it is something else. But anyways, the girls are beautiful. There you go. Bert Bertrand, me and you would have a blast there.
Yeah, yeah. You too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, dirty boy.
Nice, nice myself, day for this to be happening.
Yeah.
I myself.
What do you think about those type of places, Beetle?
I'm observing the moment of silence for Good Friday here. While we're talking about this and the draft.
You got about three. You got 2 minutes of work left, Dan, before you got to be quiet.
Honestly, he's invited too.
Yeah,
oh, good.
Moment of silence. Good Friday. Can't talk.
Right. Listen, getting life. Back to Dustin Pedroia.
Yep.
Why don't he leave just like Gronk left?
He
on
might.
A winning note, man.
Well,
it still might happen.
I mean, they're going to have to work out something. He's 35 to 40 million left in the contract this year, and then two more. And I mean, you know, he could cut a deal with them if they all agree, okay, and work something out. But he's going to keep.
What deal has to be cut if he decides that?
You don't say don't.
If
don't
he's
pay
medically unable
million?
To ever play, then they can do that. But for him to just voluntarily retire, I mean, they could say, well, then you know.
I mean, at what point are you declared medically unable
right,
to play? Because
right.
it looks like he's medically unable.
I think we're there.
We're getting
I think
there.
We're there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
but it's also a totally different scenario. It's like, why can't he do what Gronkowski? Gronkowski actually played. You know, he actually contributed
he won
to the
game.
Win. Yeah. I think it's tough for any player, especially a competitor like Dustin Pedroia, to just get your ring knowing that you had nothing to do with it. Yeah, you think that's going to satisfy him? Nope. That's going to make him feel like he ended his career with a world championship? No, he doesn't feel that way because he didn't have anything to do with that win.
Yeah,
last
the difference
year.
Being that Gronkowski is almost 30 and Pedroia is almost 36. There's
yep.
age difference in there as well. But no, I mean, listen, Dustin Pedroia has got enough in terms of his own achievements. He's a former MVP. He's won multiple World Series, 7-07 and 13 are both, you know, to his name and to his credit,
yep.
right? So it's not like he needs, you know, the validation of winning one. He's already yeah. done that.
No, but if you're trying to make a case for, Steph, go out while you're on top. Pedroia doesn't feel like he's on top.
No, he was no part of that last year.
No, did not feel that way in preseason. Doesn't feel that way right now.
All right, David Price has some very interesting comments about a possible doomsday type of situation with the Red Sox, and that being that the team is so bad this year that they need to trade everybody on the roster. We get criticized for
negativity.
Being too negative and
yeah.
negativity. I hope that there's that same level of criticism for David Price today because – his doomsday scenario is worse than anything we've proposed. We'll get to that in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Now. Sports Talk. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
I'm playing this in the garden tonight.
Shaughnessy, wake up. New time hour on a Friday. Dan Shaughnessy with us.
Going silent.
Dan's date's happening at 12:50. Don't go away on us now, Dan.
Yeah. How's those dates looking, by the way? Even take a peek at them yet?
There is a lot.
Globe baseball coverage killing it this week. Alex Spear with comments from David Price.
So I was at the game, both games, Tuesday and Wednesday. And so Wednesday, you know, Alex, he doesn't write on deadline the way we do. He kind of does it a little bit later and then it goes online the next day. So, but I'm trying to make that printed paper that you all read every day.
Right.
So I'm up there and he comes up from the room. I left there as soon as the manager got done. I tried to get Dombrowski to talk about Pedroia. He wouldn't do it. Pedroia wasn't there. So I went upstairs and just, you know, wrapping things up. And then Alex came up and he says, I just had a really interesting conversation with David Price. And so Alex, you know, he's not looking for trouble. He's not controversial. He's a baseball guy, seam head, analytical, and he knows everything. And he just wandered over to Price because unbeknownst to the rest of us, Price was part of a team in Tampa that had a horrible start after a great year. They're in the World
Series.
Right,
they started out.
Year.
They started out in 2011, 1-8 after being, the division winners the year before.
Who would even remember that about Tampa Bay? But Alex does. Nobody. So he sees, oh, there's Price. Maybe he can talk about, you know, a team that was great and then doing badly at the start of the next year. So he goes over to talk about that.
Yeah.
And gets this, where David Price launches into.
Yeah, we were 1-8, and he said, we took a toast before a game, a shot, the whole team. Manager Joe Maddon said, this is to the best 1-8 team ever in the big leagues. We won that day. We took another shot after that day, and we made the playoffs. That's what he says about the 2011 Rays. And then he says.
He just did this on his own.
And then he says, it needs to be the rotation that leads the way on this team. He said, quote, that's what we need. It boils down to the starters. I don't care how good our offense is. 1 through 5 or 6 will be better. There's no doubt about that. But we need to do it starting in Tampa. If we don't start playing better, J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, maybe myself, we could get traded. We're what, 30th in minor league systems?
That was a shot.
And Price, who seems more aware than ever, was referencing Baseball America's recent evaluations that did indeed rank the Red Sox number 30 in farm systems.
There's always Baseball America at the clubhouse.
So DP is in there checking out the Baseball America, thumbing through that, looking at the farm system, saying, what do they got here? He said, we're dead last, and if we don't play better, Mookie Betts will be traded, J.D. Martinez will be traded, and it will be tough here for a while. Wow!
Oh, yeah. He keeps going on about it. You have to.
I love these comments yesterday.
That's great.
We talked about him yesterday. I think this is somebody being accountable.
Yeah.
Somebody that gets it. Somebody who's actually been through it and has won before. And this stuff happens, man. If you don't get your heads out of your you-know-whats. Like, we always talk about, okay, is it early? We'll get calls. You guys are too rough on him. It's only April. At what point does it get not too late or become not too late?
And he goes on to say,
I think we're there with him. Go
he
ahead.
Says, we need to play better. It needs to happen now. Boston doesn't handle losing well, and I get that. The Celtics are good. The Bruins are good. The Patriots are always winning, and the Red Sox are always good. If we don't play better, there's going to be a lot of changes around here. I remember when Boston won the World Series in 2013, and in 2014, they were trash. Trash.
Yeah.
He said it twice.
Love it. Great. I mean, no one ever says anything in that room.
These are the best comments he's ever had. Really?
It
so
is.
We can take it in a couple of ways. Number one being, wow, this guy is very accountable and he is on top of this and he's very aware of where things are at, you know, whether it be the 30th ranking of the prospects in the minor league system or where the Red Sox fit in town or the need to win because of the expectations for the team and all the payroll and talent they have on the team. Or it could be viewed that David Price sees a losing season as his way out of town. That is the far more cynical way of looking at this, that he somehow sees this as a way out.
I don't see it that way. I mean,
I don't either, by the way. I just know that others have suggested it. I don't see it that way. I take him at his word. I think this is the new open free.
Oh, the trump card, David Price.
Yeah, trump card, David Price.
Right. And again, he's been flexing his muscles this way for the last couple of weeks. He went at MLB for Mookie Betts not having any commercials.
Yes.
He went at MLB because everybody didn't play on Jackie Robinson Day. He's kind of issuing these things. And he's not going to the White House. He's announced that. I mean, so, I applaud this.
I loved his reasoning, by the way. Why aren't you going to the White House?
Baseball season.
It's baseball season. I play baseball during baseball season. Okay. Guess you don't do anything else.
Yeah. So it was, I think even for fans, you know, and fans
it's
like
also Fortnite.
They like him a little bit more now because they won the World Series. He stood up big in the postseason, should have been MVP of the World Series. And he's pitched well this year. I mean, in a cast of characters that have not, he's actually looked better than the rest of them. So, I mean, but it was just weird that it was not provoked. He clearly had been thinking about it. It was interesting that he knew that part about the minor league system being last. There are the Baseball Americas laying around the clubhouse every day, and he must have been thumbing through it. And like you say,
you're not stupid too. And if you love the game you play, you understand the people that are in it, and you know how your team's built and what it looks like under you.
But I don't think he's trying to get himself traded out of here because, I mean, there's a lot of situations that it could be way worse.
No, I didn't take it that way once at all yesterday. We read it. We're like, oh, this is some sort of leadership accountability here.
Yeah, it was
it's good.
Yeah, it was great. So good for him. And there's a lot of truth in there. I don't think they're going to be trading
those guys. My next question is there any truth in that?
Well, I
said yesterday, as soon as I read it, I said, I don't believe
the accountability part's true, but the notion that they would be start trading J.D. Martinez or Betts, no. I mean, J.D. has an opt-out at the end of the year. Betts, as we know, has decided to bet on himself and has 2 years left under their contract. The Betts thing interests me in that he's gotten kind of a free pass on this thing so far. He's hitting 200.
To this point.
And don't forget,
he did not perform in the playoffs either.
He hit 210 in the postseason last year in 14 games. He had never hit a home run in the postseason in three seasons until last year in the fifth and final game of the World Series. He had a pile-on home run late in the game. And that's it. And he hasn't been the same defensively. He had that boneheading base running mistake in Oakland. Hasn't been the same guy. And he knows it. And I think, I'm wondering if he's pressing that he decided to bet on himself instead of to go the Bogarts route. Mm. And he's feeling it. I got to be Trout now. I got to be Harper. I got to be Machado. And, I mean, baseball looks so easy to him all of last year, but it hasn't. And it's been a while now because it's the postseason and now 19 games of 200.
Yeah, what is it for him that is, you know, or is it just a slump? You know, is he in the middle of a slump that he comes out of and he never looks
back? He's missing
back?
His pitch. He's very jumpy, and he's not the same defensively.
But I don't think it's likely that they would trade J.D. Martinez.
No.
Or David Price.
No.
Bet.
They just paid Chris Sale $145 million. But out of that group of guys, right? Out of all the guys on this team, who would be the most likely if the season does
go? Well, Porcello's going to get traded.
Okay. Yeah. I'm talking real players. I'm talking real talent.
Okay.
Of the high-end talent on this team, the big-ticket items.
Well, it would
is
be,
Betts not the most?
It would be him after this season, I think. I mean, I just think.
Couldn't you get more at the trade deadline this year as opposed to waiting until the offseason?
Yes. They'd have to be 15 or more games out.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think that's where this is going.
That's impossible.
I'm just saying that if this is not even my suggestion. It's David Price's
suggestion.
That's
right. We're trying to be upbeat here.
I'm just trying to, you know, discuss this. What he's put out there, if David Price's situation were to come true and they were going to look at trading anybody that's a high-end, you know, high-ticket item on the team, I don't know how Betts would not be number one on the list.
Well, of course. You know, they're not going to trade Devers or Benintendi. They have all that service time still with those guys.
They're locked up. They're arbitration eligible, where they're getting closer with Betts to him hitting free agency. And Betts has not gotten to a point yet where he slumped so long that he's lost any money. But, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
A lot of pressure for an April game in Tampa, don't you think?
Sure is. But you're still
must-win
series.
Tampa has played well out of the gate.
God,
that's not going to last.
And again,
that is fraudulent the same way the Red Sox, you know, look at the run differential and the record for the Red Sox. That's not going to last the same way the record and the run differential won't last for Tampa.
You got two playoff games tonight going up against you, so you're off to schneid again here.
But
if they don't wake up,
are you peeking in?
Yeah. Hell yes.
I think everybody is.
Oh, now yeah.
I don't think anyone's
that sort of rubbernecking.
Demolition derby.
You just keep peeking in there.
Sure.
And say, what's happening there? What's happening with that team? What's happening with them tonight?
I thought of that the other night when he gave up the grand slam because I was peeking with, I'm in Yankee Stadium and I'm checking out Celtics and Bruins and all that. And I'm thinking, oh boy, hopefully this thing went under the radar for them because nobody was watching, but people knew.
617-779-0985. As I said, Dan State's coming up at 12:50 later this hour. There's more news in the Robert Kraft situation with a possible video leak on the way. Bruins, Celtics on the table as well. We'll get to your calls. More with Shaughnessy coming up after the action update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.